to episode 3 of Wavebeam, the official podcast of the Metroid Database. I'm your host, Infinity's End, graphics artist for the Metroid Database. Joining me is Capcom, the site director.
Hey guys.
And Jesse V, our lead engineer.
Hello.
So thanks for tuning in, guys. We're really excited to be here today, and we're going to talk about two things in general. The first being GDC, which Devin just came back from last weekend, and he can't wait to tell us about his awesome experience at GDC because there was a very special guest there, and I'm just going to let him speak about that in a moment. First off, when you went to the MDB today, you might have noticed a little bit of a change. Our site has been completely remade. This has been a long time coming. We are very, very proud to unveil our version 4 layout that Jesse D has been pouring his blood, sweat, and tears over for quite a bit. And if you want to say anything about that, Jesse?
Yeah, so I've been working very closely with Infinity's End for about the last month or so to create a sort of a fresh, updated look for the main sites. So he provided me with, you know, some awesome graphics, and I've been completely rewriting, you know, a lot of the code to give it a lot of new features that should hopefully bring it into the modern era. So, for example, image previews fade into the page, news posts have permalinks, and they're more easily searched. And just for fun, I built in a background selector so that you can travel to different Metroid locations. So this is all, I mean, this all opens up the door for some major upgrades, so you'll be hearing a lot more from me in the future about that. So hopefully this layout should be completely rolled out by the time you're listening to this podcast.
Awesome, man. And just as a quick little history lesson, it's a little bit of a repeat of history. If you guys might remember, 8 years ago, TJ, the famous TJ, actually unveiled version 3 right when Metroid Prime and Metroid Fusion were on the horizon. So Other M is on the horizon this time, and we're kind of doing this as a little bit of a pre-celebration before its release. So we really hope you guys enjoy our new layout.
Yeah, thankfully the previous version did not look as bad as version 1.0 or even version 0 from 96.
I gotta say, they look good for the time, though.
Well, yeah.
All right. So next thing, I guess I will hand it over to Devin, so he can talk about his super awesome GDC experience. So just, I guess, start from the beginning, Devin, if you can.
Okay. Well, let's see. So GDC was about a couple weeks ago now. This is a game developers conference. It's pretty much the event to go to if you're interested in working with the industry or hearing all the sorts of things that are going on within the industry. It's very different from E3, which E3 is for, it is for advertisers, and it's for displaying new software, new product. With GDC, it's about networking with other developers, going to lectures that where developers are talking about things that they've been working on, and viewing new product on the show floor. They do sometimes unveil new games there. This year, though, there was a very special guest from Nintendo, Yoshio Sakamoto, who is the creator of the Metroid series. If you've been to the site, you've seen our feature of Behind the Developers. We've got a profile up there of Yoshio Sakamoto. We've got several interviews that he's done. And he was basically the director of the original Metroid, directed Super Metroid, Fusion, Zero Mission, and is now the producer of Metroid Other M. And he came in to talk about not only his work on the Metroid series, but also his work on the WarioWare series, and a few other titles like Tomodachi Collection, which is not available in the U.S. at the moment. Apparently, it's not going to be released over here until they get English voice recognition software that's good enough for that. But he is a very important developer. He's sort of Nintendo's other designer. And, well, he came in to talk about his work on Metroid and on WarioWare and Tomodachi Collection and what his ideas behind design are. Because he's making two very different types of games. He's making Metroid and he's making WarioWare, so a very serious game, a very comedic game. And what he came in to talk about was how he can discuss two different, or how he can design two different kinds of games. And basically what he discusses in the lecture is that comedy and horror are basically the same thing, because it's all about building tension, using foreshadowing and timing to create the specific emotional effect that you're going for. And so we've got an overview of that on the site. It's I was able to take a lot of lecture notes, not as much as I would have wanted to. I was very nervous meeting Sakamoto because, he's sort of the creator of the whole series, and I mean,
he's kind of like God.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, not quite like going to meet God, but you know, it's
a demigod. Yeah. Still a man. Yeah. I'd be starstruck.
Yeah. It was, I tried to stay cool. I walked up before he gave a speech and gave him a business card. I actually made business cards for the Metroid database. And so those should be up on the site too, eventually. But I gave Mr. Sakamoto a business card. Reggie was sitting there. I gave him a card. And I'm not sure if they've visited the website. They seemed very surprised to hear about it. So, maybe they did decide to go and see it. It was basically the first panel of the entire session, or the entire conference that I went to. And so, I hadn't quite gotten into the swing of taking notes, so there are a few errors in the lecture here, or the lecture notes that I took, but those will be cleaned up within the future.
So let me ask you something, Devin. Did you ever have the chance to see him like afterwards? Did he walk around the con? Did you ever see him after his lecture?
Well, apparently he was at the Game Developer Choice Awards. This is if we're going by Brian Crescente wrote on Kotaku. It sounds like he was around the awards dinner there, or maybe a speaker's dinner.
Mm.
But I certainly didn't see him. And I guess they flew him out on... it was either Friday. Yeah, I believe they flew him back out on Friday. So his speech was on Thursday. He was able to do one or two interviews, and then they flew him back out. So, he's probably still very busy working on the Other M, getting that finished up for launch.
Right.
You count on that.
Yeah. That's cool. So did he have a translator following him wherever he went?
I believe he had a official translator from Nintendo for the lecture he gave. He had a series of notes that had already been translated into English, and they had their own, not exactly translator working on it, but basically somebody reading off those notes. And that way, if you go to any translated sessions on GDC, it's all done in real time.
Yeah.
And so it's often very hard to hear what they're saying. But with Nintendo, they have all the lecture notes already written out, and so there's no surprises.
That's cool.
So, yeah, did you ahead, attempt Jesse. To communicate with him in Japanese at all?
Yeah, when I first talked to him, I did introduce myself in Japanese. Of course, you know, this was before the session, and I wasn't sure if there would be time afterward to meet and speak with him, but there actually was very little time afterward. I think maybe about 10 minutes of people milling around, and then they sort of shuffled everybody out the room to get prepared for the next session. The conference was certainly a lot of fun. Metroid, though, was a no-show, so that was very disappointing. I was really looking forward to playing that at the show.
Yeah, that'd been awesome. Oh well. I wanted to ask you another thing about the lecture itself. If you look at the lecture pictures, he puts up some pretty funny pictures, and I was wondering what the audience reaction was when you showed those.
Oh, there was all kinds of laughter throughout it. I mean, Sakamoto is a pretty casual guy, from what I've heard other people say about him and from my impressions of the lecture. He's very interested in making other people laugh and overall giving a good impression to others. And so, yeah, the audience would just crack up all the time. Again, I mean, if this had been a lecture later on in the GDC, I probably would have gotten a lot better notes out of that and been able to track out the timing. However, they should have a MP3 recording of the lecture available by the end of the month on the GDC Vault. It's just gdcvault.com. We'll have links to that posted on the website as soon as that's available.
Cool. Any other things that you can think of off the top of your head?
In terms of Metroid or GDC as a whole?
Just GDC as a whole.
Well, there was a lot of great playable demos from the Independent Games Festival. Some of the stuff you can actually download. So there was games like Devil's Tuning Fork, which was all audio-based. Stargard, which is kind of a C64-type graphics. Pretty cool action game. Closure, this is a puzzle game that has an aesthetic very similar to Metroid, which all those you can download for free. Ones that will be available for purchase later. Well, there was Limbo, which is that's this very dark, moody game where you're playing as this little kid who's I guess he's been sent to hell or stuck in Limbo and he's got to escape, but he dies pretty gruesome deaths, and it got a few awards there. But I was kind of under the impression that it was basically plays a lot like out of this world, but you seem to die a lot more frequently and you start 15 seconds before you die, which is doesn't make it very much fun to watch.
I wanted to kind of touch on that as far as independent games go. You usually notice, I'm sure you've noticed this too, that I would say 9 out of 10 times that any of these independent games get any notice, it's that they're 2D. The first thing you see is that they're 2D. And it just, it always makes me happy to see these 2D games being pushed in new directions, whereas, they seem to be leaving the 3D up for the big boys, so to speak. Metroid has a lot to do with that, because of the way that it pushed the 2D genre. And do you feel that a lot of these games were kind of Metroid inspired in some way?
Well, not really. I mean, to say that it was all entirely 2D, that would be incorrect. They did have a few interesting games that were in 3D. There's one, Igneous, which you can actually download. That one's where you're this ball rolling over obstacles on a race course. Reminded me of this old Amiga game called Trailblazer. And then there was another game where you're falling through space and have to avoid hitting platforms. That one was pretty cool, too. But in terms of where the inspiration for a lot of these are coming from, that's kind of hard to say. I think on some level, the designers of these independent games are interested in... they're interested in publishing them on, say, the Xbox Live Arcade or something like that. And so they're interested in actually publishing the games and making money off of them. In terms of the aesthetics, some of them are going back to C64 era games and 8-bit Nintendo games. This seems to be an aesthetic that's coming back. Some of them are also using graphics that are very sophisticated from, say, a 16-bit or even 32-bit 2D game. So if you're looking at something like Shank or Rocket Bird's Revolution, they're all have this very illustrative style. The gameplay, though, didn't strike me as being terribly new for those, but that's not necessarily a bad thing.
So, did you get to meet any other famous individuals aside from Reggie and Sakamoto?
I did meet some interesting people at the video games, or the IGDA Japan chapter. They have their dinner each year, and sometimes if you're lucky enough to have a friend over in Japan who can get your ticket, he can get you in there. And so this year I went, and, well, there's... Shogo Iwai, the composer from PAL Software, and he's there, and he knows a little bit of English, and I got to sit down and chat to him a while, and so that was pretty cool. He actually had interesting commentary about Kenji Yamamoto, the composer of Super Metroid and Metroid Fusion, and also all the Prime games. Apparently, Kenji Yamamoto's nickname is Ken.
Awesome.
Yes, yeah, that was real cool to hear about that. I guess some of these composers have sort of cute nicknames like that. I know Michiru Yamane, the composer of the Castlevania series, she was known for a while as Chiru Chiru Yamane.
Interesting.
Yes.
Did you go to the Destructoid party? Like I told you.
I signed up for that, so I did VIP or I did RSVP to that. But,
yeah.
I forgot about it. There was something else going on at the same time, and I did go to the Gamma 4 event, which was open till about 2 a.m. I got out of there about 1, but they had. DJs playing to a whole bunch of independent games, and there's one of them, Biome, is he did the music to Pixel Junk Eden, and he's also been doing a lot of collaborative work in Japan as a DJ, one of which is an album that he did with Hip Tanaka, which that actually came out a couple weeks back. I haven't had a chance to listen to it yet, but you can put that one up on iTunes. So we should do a news article on that too.
And we should probably mention real quick the speaking of news, Cave Story on the Wii just came out for WiiWare for a very, very, very long development time. So if you guys want some pretty awesome Metroid-inspired action, we'll definitely pick that game up. It's incredible. If you haven't already played the free version on the PC, but the WiiWare version, of course, promises some new extra features, and definitely give that a shot.
Yeah, has either of you had a chance to play that? I haven't.
No, not yet. I'm still trying to go through Mega Man 10, which is a bitch.
True Mega Man stuff.
Yeah, exactly. I'm, like, pulling my hair out.
I I never beat 9. I got close, but I just couldn't do it.
Well, yeah. It's harder than 9. That's
that's good to know.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't think that they could do it, but it's more difficult than 9 was.
Yeah, I don't know. My brother plays those games all the time, and so when the demo came out, he played through that, and I'm going through it, and I'm dying like every other stage or every other screen, and it's like, no, I can't do this anymore.
You need to have patience of steel. And, I mean, it's so weird, because when I play these games, I constantly harken back to my 9-year-old self when I'm playing Mega Man 2 for the very first time, and I'm just like, you know, I don't get frustrated from dying. Like, I can distinctly remember just dying and can't wait to do it again and again and again and again until I can get it perfect. And those games were really hard back then. You know, I mean, I remember going through Dr. Wily's stage 1 20 or so times before finally doing that, and like, you know, when that dragon comes in scaring the hell out of me and me dying, you know what I'm talking about. And it's just, nowadays I'm just, I don't know where this patience is. It's not there anymore. You guys ever get that feeling?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Wireless controllers are a bad thing because I'm more inclined to throw them across the room now.
That's why you use the wrist strap there, Jesse.
Yes.
No, I
made it specifically for Mega Man.
Throw it over and over again, and it just keeps coming right back.
Yeah, that's why I should put the Wiimote condom on it.
Well, I guess now's a good time as any for a break. You guys agree?
Sure.
All right, we'll break.
Yes, sir.
We'll be back in a little bit. Okay, welcome back, guys, after our short little break there. I guess we're just going to get into it. We're going to start discussing Other M. I know a lot of people are excited to play it. There's a lot of mixed feelings, at least what I'm getting from on the forum. But I, for one, cannot wait. I am so, so excited to play this game. So I think there's really nothing that... this game is not going to deliver on, really. I think it's going to deliver in spades. It's going to be an excellent, amazing, amazing game, and I think it's going to live up to the hype. How about you guys?
Yeah, I'd agree to that. I was just reading over all of the play reviews that all the news people did after the Nintendo Media Summit, and a lot of them had very positive responses to it. There were some people disagreeing on the voice acting, some people disagreeing on the controls in a couple places, but it sounds like they've done a very good job getting that transition between the 3D gameplay and the first-person gameplay. Because I think if they couldn't get that done, then they... just like Metroid Prime with the Morph Ball, they would not have been able to make this game.
Right. And going back to the controls real quick, like, when I first heard the Famicom controls, I guess they would call it, or, you know, the sideways Wiimote
Famicom
controls.
Plus.
Yeah, Famicom Plus controls. And I was like, oh my god, this is gonna suck, you can't aim. But then I read on and I found out that it kind of auto-aims for you. And missiles aren't really something that you're going to have to be concerned about anymore, because you can only shoot them during first person. And again, when I heard that, I was a little disappointed. But then it kind of sunk in, and it made sense that missiles were kind of turned into something that were a lot more than just another weapon, you know. And, you might not be able to shoot a billion missiles in succession, but you won't ever need to do that in the game.
Yeah, and you got to think of it this way, too. In the spirit of the of its predecessors, you always had to kind of switch into a special mode for the missile anyway. So
yeah.
Might as well make it a little bit more intense, you know, a little bit more pinpoint accurate.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And, that was always something, even in Metroid 1, you could aim straight up, something till this very day Mega Man cannot do, you know? And the aiming mechanic was one of the things that made Metroid so fun. So I think this is just the next step for doing something like that.
Yeah. Well, I gotta say, I'm keeping a very open mind about this game. Way back when Metroid Prime was first introduced and announced, and they started slowly leaking information about it, I quickly let myself base my opinion on what other people were saying, and just basically focusing on all the negative publicity, and kept a very closed mind, and I expected it to be awful, and when I played it, it was a very memorable experience, and so I'm not going to let the media influence me one bit on other apps, so people can complain about it, they can whine all they want, but once we actually play the game, that's where I'm going to pass my own judgment on it.
Right.
I remember stuff like that on the forums way back then, too. There was one guy who said that he would only play the game in Morph Ball throughout the entire thing. I don't remember who it was, but I'm pretty sure he probably picked up the game and played it and enjoyed it.
I mean, even TJ was in the same boat. I mean, I think he said something along the lines of he was going to eat a crow if the game turned out good, and then the game came out, and he said, can I have ketchup with it?
Yeah, it was barbecue sauce, I think.
Something like that. I don't remember. Point is...
We should stop by his house and make sure he did eat it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the complaints that people are having, I didn't know that people could think that shallowly, if that's even a word. Like, for example, it is the internet after all, but people are complaining that she has a mole. Like, that was one of the biggest controversies. Oh my god, she has a mole. Right. Why would you care about something like that? Why would that even matter? It just boggles my mind. I cannot believe it.
Yeah, and one thing that almost got to me was the voice acting, the voice actress that they chose for Samus. But again, I think it's really silly to be passing judgment this early on. Yeah. I mean, for all we know, the only only from the intro do we ever hear her speak, for all we know.
Right.
Well, she's actually talking a lot throughout it. There's a lot of internal monologues that happen based on what the players were saying. So it sounds like she's going to be talking a lot. Some of them said they liked it. Some of them said she was pretty monotone, wasn't emoting enough. Mm. You know, we'll just have to pick up the game and play it and see.
Yeah.
That could just be the character. I mean, that may very well be intentional.
And wasn't she, like, handpicked by Sakamoto?
Yeah, she was picked by him for... because it sounded like she was speaking from the heart, and that was one thing he was going for. And of course, the localizers made sure she was enunciating in the proper places. But I think Sakamoto had his own idea of how Samus would sound, and that Jessica Martin's just fit the bill perfectly for that.
Well, we're wise to trust his judgment then.
Yeah, I think. You know, to all those people out there that are worried in any tiny little way, there's no reason to be. There really is no reason to be worried. And you should just accept the game for what it is. Even the great Jeremy Parrish was worried. Oh no, there's a storyline in the game. Oh no, there's going to be cutscenes interrupting my gameplay. And it's ridiculous. Just play the game and enjoy it for what it is, no matter what it ends up becoming.
Yeah, the whole thing is subjective. Some people are just absolutely against the idea that there could be any story or character development when they just want to blast aliens, whereas other people are just itching to know more about Samus. You know, she's just been this enigmatic character from day one, and we know very little about her, so it's a double-edged blade. I mean, some hate it, some love it, but I think it's unfair to be trash-talking the game this early on.
Right. Well, I think a lot of people are jumping on the it's going to be another fusion bandwagon, you know, and they they think that they'll be like, every time you go up an elevator or whatever, you know, she's going to have a little monologue, which, you know, in Fusion, those were a little annoying, I guess, but it's not really something that ruined the whole game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So, I actually liked Fusion a lot. I don't know about you guys, but I thought it was really cool when it came out, and I played again a while back, and I still think it's pretty good.
Oh, I was so excited for that game. I played it before I played Prime, and I got them both at the same time.
I actually stood in the GameStop, because I knew the manager at this one store, and I just played it in the store the whole way through.
Huh. That's awesome. Yeah, we'll probably be doing a Fusion and a Metroid Zero Mission podcast soon. I don't know when, but soon, probably. Probably within the next couple of months or so. Yeah. Speaking of the storyline itself, there are a lot of things that we can infer, or at least some that I did myself on the forum. And one of those things is obviously the death of Adam, Adam Malkovich. We know for sure that he's going to die. How that's going to happen, we don't know, but we know it's going to be pivotal. It is going to be 100% absolutely pivotal in the game, just because of he's a character that was pivotal to Fusion, you know, and it was kind of like a surprise, or they kind of implied it was a surprise in Fusion. But now that we know that he is this character that Samus knows and has some kind of relationship with, probably not romantic, but some kind of relationship, be it you know, he kicking her out of the Galactic Federation or whatnot, but. You know, those feelings are heartfelt through Samus in some way, and we're probably going to see a lot of that in the game.
Yeah, that's what it sounded like from the player reviews. When Adam mentions this in the intro sequence, you don't get a whole lot of story. It just kind of mentions this falling out that occurred, and it sounded to me more from how they were describing that it was more of a something professional, that Samus had gone and done something that Adam didn't want her to, and this breaking out caused her to leave the Federation and go independent.
And I'm thinking, just a guess here, you know the suits that the Galactic Federation wears, I'm hoping Samus will be wearing one, just at least temporarily. And, you know, if we do ever get to play as young Samus, which I'm kind of hoping, instead of just being limited to flashback scenes, I think it would be pretty cool to have a kind of Galactic Federation version of Samus that you could maybe temporarily play as and have limited powers. But I think that would be a pretty fun part of the game.
Be a great way to introduce it.
Yeah. Actually, Jason Nicholas is isn't he over in Norway or something? But he did on Planet Zetus, this fan website. He had a whole lot of artwork, and one of them was Samus in a Galactic Federation suit.
Oh, cool. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, well, I'll have to put a link up to that on the site for you guys.
Yeah, neat. And then, of course, another thing in NetherRealm is the absence of Metroids, which is, I don't know, I think people are going to be kind of leery about that. Huntress didn't have Metroids, so that's one game there. What else didn't have Metroids? Fusion didn't really have Metroids. I mean, it had the little babies, but it's not like you had to fight them.
That was the huge twist in Fusion, because we expected the whole species to be extinct by this point. We thought the last one was dead at the end of Super.
Exactly. So, you know, I don't know. I'm kind of torn. I don't really care if it doesn't have Metroids or not. You know, it's not going to be like, oh my god, this game sucks. It doesn't have Metroids. What's a Metroid game?
Huntress sucked. Hunters sucked. It didn't have Metroids.
Right, right. I'm not going to let you use that as leverage.
It's not the lack of Metroids that made Hunters suck.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
But so, what do you guys think of the control scheme?
I think it's actually pretty cool. I mean, very simplified controls. You know, you're using button 1, button 2, A, and the D-pad.
Yeah.
The aiming, as we said, is kind of automatic. As long as you're facing in the general direction and within range, you can hit whatever you're shooting at. Switching to first person is supposedly near instantaneous, so we'll have to play with that. But apparently it's going to take a little bit of getting used to, but I have a feeling after about an hour or two of play, you know, just like when you picked up Super Metroid for the first time, it takes a while to get used to that control scheme. Certainly not something in the way of like Mario, where you pick it up and you understand it immediately. It takes a little bit more practice with it.
Yeah, the my wrist kind of gets tired after a while if I play Trilogy for a very long time. So I'm hoping, switching back and forth won't get too annoying. Have you guys played through Super Paper Mario at all?
Yeah, I've played.
Okay, so yeah, there's a very, very similar control thing in Super Paper Mario where you have to point the Wiimote at the screen and it allows you to uncover secrets. So I'm thinking it's going to be pretty similar to that as far as like how you have to keep switching back and forth.
There was also intelligent systems too.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
So what do you guys think of the whole Kung Fu thing?
Kung Fu thing.
Oh, so Samus is doing all these acrobatic kicking things. And, you know, it's almost like Smash Brothers, but we've never seen anything like this in a proper Metroid game.
Well, I pretty much expected it. You know, if it wasn't there, I would have been disappointed.
I love that concept picture, that sort of collage image they released of Samus kicking a pirate.
Yeah.
Hoping they make a wallpaper-sized version of that.
Yes.
I mean, it's different. It's not the Samus I grew up with, but it looks like a necessary change.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't thrive on the gun alone.
Right. I mean, and Team Ninja, with their amazing, amazing 3D animators, they have to do something, right?
Yeah.
You can't just have cool animated enemies. You have to do something with the main character. And they're doing it. They're going to make it incredibly interesting and fun to play. And I'm not worried about that in the slightest bit.
Yep.
Yeah, I think it's a step up from Prime, because in Prime, I mean, we know that Samus is an acrobat. We know that she's extremely limber and can move very quickly. Right. But in Prime, she never felt like that. She felt more like a tank, you know? She never felt limber, so to speak. So this game ought to kind of address that.
Yeah, even in the cutscenes in Prime, she never really did anything in those in terms of acrobatics. The other cool thing is you can use the D-pad. If you hit that right before you get hit by an enemy, you can dodge the attack, and you can also do a counterattack if you time it right. This is what I'm getting from player reviews. I'm going to guess that it's going to, the type of counterattack and the direction in which you dodge might be context sensitive. So, depending on if you press which button on the D-pad you press, that might have a different effect. I think that would be pretty cool if they did that. It would certainly take a lot more animations to do it, but...
Yeah, I think back to the storyline real quick. There is a possible connection with Fusion. One of the things that whoever that was, it might have been Adam... He says something like, perhaps you already knew about this, and he's talking about the Metroid cloning program. So I'm thinking there's probably, and also getting a bit evidence from the trailer, the first trailer that we saw, there's probably going to be some Metroid cloning program that she might find, but never really truly sees what it's all about, you know? Like, the evidence will be there, but then it'll be destroyed, or it'll be hidden from her at the last moment, you know?
That would make a really nice tie-in with Fusion.
Right. Yes, most definitely. On top of that, what was I going to say? Oh, yeah, the X. If there's going to be another tie-in with Fusion, it would be the X, but I'm guessing they probably won't touch on the X, or... If anything, the very, very end, like maybe a little epilogue cutscene, we'll see Samus being sent to SR388. Hopefully something like that would be cool, but we can't know for sure until it comes out.
Well, we've only got just a little over 3 months.
Yay!
Yeah, I'm actually going to be buying a new TV just to play that.
Sweet.
Getting it funded though, don't have to pay, you know, the $400 straight up. Just do $40 for 10 months, do Sears or something. What do you guys think of the holding the Wii remote vertically to recharge missiles and energy? I personally think this is really cool because it's basically mimicking the meditative pose that Samus is going into. And I think there's a nice correlation between that action and sort of getting the player to think a little bit more like Samus.
Yeah, I think that's a really cool idea. I'm really happy that it doesn't make you invincible. You know, it's only like a temporary thing. I don't think you can get all your missiles back or all your energy back. But it's there for, like, a little helpful boost in case you do run out of everything.
Yeah, which, I suppose, I mean, there's actually no ammo and no health drops, at least not from enemies. I'm not sure if that was just the demo or what.
Kind of hope there are, because it's not the same without that. And, as long as they're not, you know, relying on Waggle at all, I'll be all right. I get really tired of playing Wii games where you just have to shake the remote in order to accomplish something. That really wears out your wrist after a while.
Well, in this one, you're not shaking the Wii remote. You have to hold it as still as possible.
Exactly.
It's kind of the opposite then of WarioWare for the Wii.
Like in No More Heroes, you have to like shake your remote, you know, to charge your battery back up. You have to do it constantly in that game, but that's part of the fun.
There was another interesting tidbit. They said that using the when you go into first person, if you hold down that E trigger and look around, you can it basically functions like the scan visor in Prime, so you can highlight different things that are in the in the background. It can locate hidden items that are in the room. Another thing, apparently, and if you remember those chameleon guys from the trailer, it can also identify enemies that are cloaked.
Cool.
So I think that'll be pretty interesting.
I think for me personally, over anything else in the entire game that I'm excited for, it's the level design. And I'm so looking forward to seeing how they're going to do this level design. We have got next to nothing about how the level design is going to play out. Other than those short little clips that we saw in the trailers. And I have full faith in Team Ninja. I know a lot of people don't, but I have full faith in them, and I think they're going to really, really pull it off.
Yeah. The and you know, on the other hand, too, it's not, you can't really go completely by what people were saying from the demo, because it, you know, it was only 45 minutes to an hour, and that's just the intro level of the game. I mean, was there a lot of exploration in the intro level of Prime? Was there a lot of exploration in Ceres Space Colony and Super Metroid? No, it's, so they've barely scratched the surface. There's going to be a lot of good stuff in here.
Great. I'm probably going to call off work that day.
Hope your boss doesn't listen to this.
Yes. I'll be like, I'm sick playing Metroid.
Yeah, I'm sure that'll work.
Easily.
It better, because I'm going to be doing that too.
Well, is there anything else you guys want to talk about?
In terms of Metroid? Oh, well, I guess the only other thing about the level design is that this is also the first time that we've seen a... Or can we really compare that with Metroid Prime in terms of 3D Metroid level design? Because this is third person rather than first person, so that should alter the way in which we explore the space.
Right.
Yeah, that's apples and oranges. I mean, Prime was designed very specifically for first person, whereas Other M is looking to be designed very specifically for third person, and the two are very, very different from each other. Like, you know, there's really no easy way you could play Prime if it was always, you know, a side perspective.
Yeah.
The way it's laid out.
Yeah, I keep saying this over and over. My guess is it's going to play like a Metroid-y Ninja Gaiden. Like the new Ninja Gaiden games. I don't know if you guys have played those, but they're essentially 2D games. They're essentially 2D games that are just played in a third-person perspective that have, you know, they're fairly linear. You know, you go from one end to the other. There's a few side roads along the way, but they don't really... you know, you don't really have too many big, huge open areas. So I really think that they're going to use that experience from the Ninja Gaiden level design and integrate that with new Other M's design. But, but that's just me. So if none of you guys have anything else to say about Other M, I guess we're going to close it out. Of course, we're going to be, we'll be doing another podcast on Other M after game is released and after we've had our way with it more than a few times. And I mean
they
that.
They did say you would know Samus like you never had before.
That's right. So, look forward to that podcast in the future. And then maybe we'll even have a third one about, you know, our final impressions after it's all sunk in, after the hype's died down and everyone's kind of finally realizing what the games are. Kind of like Prime, how everyone, you know, didn't want to like it at first, and then after it came out, everyone just loved it and absolutely loved it, and it's still probably one of the greatest games to ever be released on the GameCube. I really expect that to happen with Other M. You know, just because of the controversy. I expect it to be just blow our minds. I really, really do. I think it's probably going to be one of the greatest Wii games ever released. Here's hoping.
I'm excited.
Yes.
Yep.
So, with that, just want to talk a little bit more about the site before we say goodbye. Look forward to some more live streams. I want to thank each and every one of you for coming to the live streams and watching those. It was really fun to do that. I'm glad you guys had fun doing that, and I think I even inspired someone else on the forum to host their own streams. And I think they're streaming. They streamed a couple of the Prime games, which is really great to see. I think Jesse is up for possibly streaming a playthrough of Metroid 2 in the future. Is that right?
Yeah, several people have been urging me to do that. It's just a matter of finding the time to do it. But, you know, I'll be making posts to the forum, and I'll make a news post when that time comes.
Yeah, definitely. That'll be great.
I hope you do that in the future. As far as the site itself goes, stay tuned. We're going to be just constantly updating the site, the brand new site. We're going to be giving you guys more screenshots, more music, plenty of new media for you guys, maybe some old media as well as new media. And of course, we're never going to stop covering Other M until the very end. So please look forward to that. And thank you very much for being a part of us and being a part of our site. And feel free to comment and join our forums whenever you can. This is Infinity's End. Signing off. Thanks for listening again. You guys want to say goodbye?
Yep.
This is Jesse D.
This is Capcom.
And we thank you for listening. See you guys next mission. If you enjoyed the background music during the Other M portion of the show, please visit the official Reserve Tank Variations website at reservetank.darksword.com. That's reservetank.darksword.com. There are 30 tracks in all, completely free to download. Sweet. I think that one was really bad, but whatever. I'm going to put it in there anyway.
That was the idea.
Yeah. I think there's a bit of a delay. I think Devin has a delay.
Yeah, there was.
Awesome.